Begin the current daf, Masech the Sechulin daf Tzadi Beis. Begin on the second line down with the top of the Yavid, where the Gemara continues to discuss homiletically regarding the incident that related, which starts off this whole Isser, the prohibition of our perek of Giran Nasha, of the sciatic nerve, which was with the struggle that Yaakov Vinu had with the Malach. So the Pasuk in Hosea says, Vayaser el Malach Vayuchal, that he lorded with the angel and he overcame him. He cried and he entreated him and he beseeched mercy from him. Now, says the Gemara, any idea, I don't know on whom is it saying that Vayuchal, that he was able to overcome him. Minasasarlami, who became a lord to whom, that was the one that conquered and became the master. Was it Yaakov to the angel? And this is what the Pasuk is saying. Vayaser, who was Yaser? Who is the Lord? Yaakov was to the Malach, and Vayuchal, and Yaakov was able to. Or is the Pasuk saying, Vayaser, that it was that Yaakov was Yaser to the Malach, meaning that he had an opposing Lord, which was the Malach, and actually the Malach was Yuchal, and he was the one who overcame Yaakov. Says the Gemara, when the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Ki sarisa im elikim, that Yaakov was notified because you lorded with elikim, which refers to angels, and vatuchel, and you were able to, so obviously it was that Yaakov overcame the angel. Havaimi Yaakov nasasar l'mach, that tells us that Yaakov is the one who became the Lord over the angel. Now when the Pasuk says, Bacha v'yishan lo, he cried and he entreated him, Eni de mi bacha l'mi, I don't know who cried to whom. Kishoim, when the Pasuk says in Bereishis, that the Yemen that the angel said to Yaakov, Shalcheni, send me, let me go. Hava'im Malch Bachel Yaakov, that obviously is telling us that the angel was the one who cried to Yaakov. Now the Pasuk says over there, Kisarisa im Elikim v'imano Hashem, because you lorded with Elihim and with men. So Amar Rabba says, Rem is Ramazlai, it was alluding to Yaakovinu, Shasidim Shnei Sarm Lotzibenda, that there's going to be two leaders coming out from him. The Sarisa is going to be both with Elihim and with Anashim, which refers to Reish Gailish of Bavel, which is the head of the diaspora in Bavel, Evanasi Shab Eretz Yisrael, and the prince that's in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Nasi, the leader in Eretz Yisrael, they were smuchim, they had smicha, and therefore their courts are called Elihim. Like the Pasuk says in Shmais Chabez, a court is called Ad Elihim Yoveh Devar Shneim. The court is called Elihim. And that's those who have smicha. But when it says V'manashim, that refers to the Reish HaGaila, that those who are Sarisa, those are leaders, but they don't have the same level of Elihim as smicha as in Eretz Yisrael. And Sotu says, the Gemara Mekan Remez Legolas, and here in this, when he's alluding to the two leaders, also alluding to this idea that the Jews are going to be in exile in the diaspora, and therefore it's not going to be just a Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. It's also going to be the Resh Galusa in Babel. Now, continuing on the related theme, says the Gemara, the Pasuk in Bereishis says by the dream that one of the two attendants of Pari had in the jail, and they told it over to Yosef. So it says, Uvegefen, and then the grapevine, which was his dream. However, this is alluding to the Jewish people who are compared to the grapevine, as the Gemara is going to bring later on the Pasuk in Tehillim Perek Pei, that Gefen min Mitzrayim Tasiyah, that Yu Hashem took out from Egypt the grapevine. So it's referring to the Jewish people. So it says that the grapevine had Shleisha Sarigim, three branches. So what does this refer to? So Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rav, it says, Elu Gimel Sarigim. The word Sarigim is the word Sarigim. What does it mean, Sarigim? It means people that are leaders of nobility, which refers to the wealthy people that are close to the government. Hayetzim Yisrael b'chol dor v'dor, they come out of the Jewish people every single generation. So from the grapevine, there's these three Sarigim that come out every single generation. Pamim Sheshnaim Kan Be'echad Be'etz Yisrael, which is this idea we said just in the previous Gemara regarding that there's leaders of the Jewish people in the diaspora and in Eretz Yisrael. So sometimes two of these Sarigim are here in Babel and one is in Eretz Yisrael. And Pamim Sheshnaim Be'etz Yisrael Be'echad Kan, and sometimes two of them in Eretz Yisrael and one of them is here in Babel. And so the Gemara Yehivu Rabbanan Einayu, the rabbis place their eyes to identify here in Babel who are the two, those types of leaders that are Sarigim, B'Rabbana Ukva V'Rabbana Nechemya, which were B'nai Barati D'Rab, they were the grandsons of Rav from his daughters, that they were these Sarigim in Babel. Now Rav Amay gives a different interpretation. Sarigim is, what are these three Sarigim? Elu Shleshe Sarigayim. These are the three leaders of the nations, which refers to their angels. that they teach merit on the Jewish people every single generation. Although there are 70 nations, however, are at least there are three of them that are that are there for the Geffen, that are there and advocate for the Jewish people. He says Geffen, the grapevine, that what's alluded to in this dream, that refers to the world. The three branches of the grapevine. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov refers to our three of us. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And when the pasuk continues in the dream, it was as blossoming. Also, Nitza, out came the beginning of the fruit, which is not as distinct as the serigim, as the branches, because the branches are hard branches. They're stable. In contrast, the beginning of these fruits are not as strong. So Elohim Mohis, that refers to our mothers, the four mothers that we had. And the pasuk continues, "Hivshilu ashkelei sehanovim," that then the clusters start blossoming into grapes. Elo ashvatim, that's a later stage that refers to the 12 tribes. Now, Amar Rabbi Shua says to Rabbi Yez's interpretation. He says, "Chimaron le'adam ashahoyu, do they show a person what was?" At this point in the dream, there really were all those elements, including the 12 shvatim. But they only showed a person what will ultimately be in the future. So rather gives a different interpretation, that at that point in time, that dream was alluding to something for the future. Geffen zed Torah. The grapevine refers to the Torah. Shlesha Sarigim, the three branches, Elu Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. This refers to the three leaders of the Jewish people, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, three siblings. The Kefirachas also needs, and it was blossoming, was coming at the beginning of its fruit, Elu Sanhedrin. That refers to the Sanhedrin, the great court of the Jewish people. And Hivshilu Ashkelasei Hanovim says that his clusters were ripening into grapes. In Lot Tzadikim Shebechol Der B'Der, that's a later stage, that's the righteous people in every single generation. However, Amar Gamliel says, Adayin Tzrichan Anu L'Maydoi. However, we still need the interpretation of the Maydian, the Mukim Le'Kuli B'Chamokim, that he explains all these elements in one place. So it's more logical to say like his interpretation. As the Gemara quotes Rabbi Lazar HaMaydoi Ami, he says, Geffen ze Yerushalayim. The grapevine refers to Yerushalayim. Shlesha Sarigim, the three branches, ze Mikdosh Melech V'Kayin Gadol. This refers to the temple, the king, and the high priest, which are all there in Yerushalayim. V'Kifarachas also Nitza, and it was like when it was blossoming, when it was coming its first fruit, Elo Pirche Kehuna. This refers to the young Kahanim that do the service in the Beis HaMikdash, so we're all still in the same location. Hivshilu Ashkelei Se'anovim, and when the clusters start ripening into grapes, Elo Nesachim, that's the end of the product, that's the wine libations that are poured, and they're all there in the Beis HaMikdash. Shuban Levi Mukam Lo B'Matanis. He explains this pasuk referring to the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Jewish people. Domei Shuban Levi says, Geffen Zu Torah, the grapevine that refers to the Torah. Shlesha Sarigim, the three branches, Ze Be'er Amud Anan Uman, refers to the three gifts in the desert that they had this, the Be'er, they had this stream of water, and they had the Amud Anan, which was the cloud that directed them and protected them, Uman, and which was the manna that they ate. And the pasuk says, "V'kafarachas also nitzah." That was when it was blossoming. That was coming its first fruits. Ela habikurim. What that refers to is that he brought them into a good land full of fruits. And then from those first fruits, when they finish completion, they bring these first fruits. That's the completion of that gift of all the beautiful fruits in Eretz Yisrael. And when it says, "Hivshilu ashkelasei anovim," that when the clusters ripen into grapes, elu nesachim. That refers to the wine libations. Rebimer Ba'aba, he says a different interpretation. Says Geffen Elu Yisrael. The grapevine refers to the Jewish people. As we said, that the Gemara is going to refer to as a pasuk until him says Geffen Mitzrayim Tasiya. You Hashem took out from Egypt the grapevine, referring to the Jewish people. Shleisha Sarigim, the three branches. Elu Shleisha Regalim. This refers to the three Amtayvim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Sheyisrael Oilim Ben Bchalshana Bshana. That every single year the Jewish people go up to Yerushalayim. V'kefarachas, and it was when it was blossoming, which the Bach takes out the words also nitza, because we're going to shortly interpret that shortly. Higizman shel Yisrael, what does it mean that they were blossoming? That it already reached the time for the Jewish people to go out from over here, and lifritz v'libra is to be fruitful and to multiply. So too it says that v'nei Yisrael par v'yishrutz, so when it was coming time for the Jewish people to finally get out, they started being fruitful and multiplying. And the pasuk continues, also nitza, and that's what parachas is. It's starting to blossom. Also nitza, in this context, the word nitza, the hay could be switched with a ches, is that it came time for the fruits to come out, which was that it was time to have the lifeblood, that's called the dam netzach, of Egypt to be sprayed, which, as the Gemara says, Higiyah Zman Nesha Yisrael Legal, it came time for the Jewish people to be redeemed. V'chein said, this is a pasuk in Yeshaya, V'yeiz Nitzchem Al Bagadai, that the lifeblood of the Egyptians sprayed on my garments, V'chol Mabusha Egalte, and all my clothing I got dirty, which means to say it was time to, as the pasuk continues, Hivshilo Ashkelaseh Anavim, that the clusters were ripening into grapes, Higiyah Zman Nesha Mitzrayim Lishtes Koel Kesatarelo, it came time for the Egyptians to drink the bitter cup of the retribution. Behind the Dama Rabbah, that's what Rabbah says. Shleisha Kaisis Hamurus B'Mitzrayim Lama. Why is it talk about three cups regarding Egypt? By that saying over the dream, it says that the Kais Parah, it talks about the cup of Parah. It says three cups. Why is referring to three cups by the Egyptians? So these are bitter cups that they have to drink. Echad Shashasa B'Mei Moshe. One was the one they drank in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that they suffered defeat by the hands of Hashem and the Jews. Echad Shashasa B'Mei Parah Nechai. And one was in the days of Parah Nechai, which is one of the pharaohs which were destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyah Perek Mem Zayin, that Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bava, came and destroyed Paranachai. The third one will, when they will drink the bitter cup with all the idol worshippers at the end of days. Now, Amalei Rabbele Rabbeimer Ba'abe says, Kidarish Lu Rav Lahani Kroy Bagadita, when Rav expounded these psukim that we're referring to over here homiletically, Kavaseich Darish Lu, like this last interpretation that he said it's regarding the Jewish people and being redeemed from Egypt and the Egyptians drinking the bitter cup, he expounded it like you. However, the Gemara continues with other interpretations. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish says, Umazu, this nation, the Jewish people, Kigefin Nimshala, they're compared to a grapevine like we brought the Pasa Gefin Mimitzram Tasiya. Now, Zemay Rishaba, when it talks about the branches, Elu Bali Batim, those are the homeowners, which, just like the branches of a grapevine, is from there where comes out the fronds, the branches, and the leaves, and the fruits, and therefore it's the primary element of the grapevine. So to the Bali Batim, those are the ones who do kindness, and they're the ones who support the poor people, and they're the ones who spend money giving to the government to protect their brethren, and it's through them that the Jewish people are sustained and maintained. So therefore they're referred to in the branches. Ashkeila Shaba, the clusters of them, Ilu Tamid HaChacham, that refers to the Talmudic scholars. And Alin Shaba, and the leaves of the grapevine, which they're the ones who sustain all the winds, and they're protecting over the clusters that they don't get hurt and ruined by the heat and the sun and all the winds. So too, Eli Amei Aretz, those are the ignoramuses, those are the people that work the land, that they plow and they plant and they reap what the Talmudic scholars, who although they're the primary fruits, but they're sustained only through the leaves that protect them. That's the same thing. Those the people who work the land. That's how the Talmudic scholars have food to eat. And Kenaykenay Shaba, the tendrils, which are these things that are sticking out at the edge of the grapevine, which have no utility. Eli Rukanan Shabi Yisrael, those are the empty ones of the Jewish people. That's their comparison into the grapevine. Now, but says the Gemara, behind the Shulchan Mitam, this is what they sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael, Libayi Rachamim, they should beseech mercy, Iskalaya al Olaya, the clusters on the leaves, because the Mali Olaya, because if not for the leaves, Loi Miskayim and Iskalaya, the clusters wouldn't be sustained. So although the Talmudic scholars might be the main thing, but they needed pray for the Amei Aretz, because it's only in their hard work that then that sustains the Talmudic scholars. And therefore they should beseech mercy for them. Continuing on the related theme, regarding the righteous of the Jewish people, that the pasuk continues, the pasuk in Hosea, Hashem says, "Ve'echreha li b'chamisha asa kesef," which we're going to shortly explain what echreha means, with 15 silver coins. Now, with the pasuk continues, and it says, "V'chaymer sa'irim," and a chaymer, which we're going to—it's a certain measurement, which we're going to quote shortly, of barley, but lesach sa'irim, and lesach is also a certain amount of kesef. So what is this pasuk referring to? What's Hashem saying that I was echreha to me for 15 kesef? So I'm Rabbi Yechim, Mishum Yitzadik, it says, Ein kira el loshen mechira. Kira is a terminology of sale, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is essentially saying, I have purchased for me the Jewish people, as we're going to explain, the 15 refers to the 15th of Nisan, which is when he took them out of Egypt and acquired them, because of the righteous who they're considered the kesef. Shnema, first of all, to explain the first word, Bechara, like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, Bekirvi Asher Karisili, which is that Yaakov is telling his sons, it was that with this money that he gave to Esav, he bought the Ma'arsa Machpela. So, as the Gemara says in Seitidav Yugim Lanav, so essentially saying, in the grave that I have bought So karisi is mechira. Kira is mechira. So Hashem is saying vechareha li, that there was a sale for me. Bechamisha aser, what's that referring to? Zeh tesvav ben Nisan. That's the 15th of Nisan. Shebay nigulu yisrael mitzayim, that the Jewish people were redeemed from Egypt. And kesef, elu tzadikim, silver refers to the righteous people. B'chayinam, so this is a pasuk in Mishlei. Tzrar ha-kesef lakach b'yadi, the bundle of silver he took in his hand. What this is referring to, as the Gemara says in the Chalik and Sanhedrin of Tzadik Vavim Abayz, the Gemara there explains is referring to the righteous people. Because the people of Ammon and Moab, who always pestered the Jewish people as neighbors, they sent to Nebuchadnezzar, when they heard from the prophets that they were prophesying regarding the destruction of Eretz Yisrael, they sent to Nebuchadnezzar, come, destroy Yerushalayim. So he sent to them, I'm afraid from their God. So they sent to him, no, ki ein ish bebeisa, the man's not home, he's not there. So he sent, yeah, but maybe he's nearby. So they sent him, no, he went very far. So he sent to them, but yeah, but the righteous who will beseech mercy from him. So that's what they sent him, tzur ha-kesef lakach b'yadei. The righteous amongst them, which are considered the kesef, have already died, have already been killed, and therefore he already took them away, and therefore there's nothing to be afraid of. When the pasuk continues, chaymer sa'arim, now chaymer is 30 sa'. So we're talking about the number 30, and v'lesach sa'arim, which a lesach is 15 sa', that much of barley, so there's 30 and 15, says the Gemara, elu mem hei tzadikim sha'ilu miskayim behem. This refers to the 45 righteous people that the world stands on. Now, v'eini deyim shleishim kan, but it's split up into 30 and 15. So I wouldn't know if the 30 is over here in Bavel, v'tesvav b'Eretz Yisrael, and the 15 is in Eretz Yisrael. V'im shleishim b'Eretz Yisrael, v'tesvav kan, or are the 30 in Eretz Yisrael and the 15 over here in Bavel? But Kishroim, when the Pasuk says in Zechariah, v'ekcha shleishim akesef, that Hashem says, I'll take the 30 silver, v'ashlech eise beis Hashem, and I'm going to put it into the house of Hashem, which that's in Eretz Yisrael, el ha-yaitzer, to the place where it's stored. Have a ima shleishim Eretz Yisrael, but that tells you that there's 30 in Eretz Yisrael and 15 over here. Now, Amar Abaye says, moreover, if it says v'rabayu, the majority of the righteous in Eretz Yisrael, mishtaki bei kenishta de tusi afsa, they can be found in the beis haknesses, in the shul that's beneath the attic, which there was a certain shul over there, that's where the majority of them are. Now, behind the chsib, that's what it says in the pasuk before that over there, by the prophecy of Zechariah, regarding to the nations of the world, the idol worshippers, Hashem says, I'm going to take my stick, my pleasantness, I'm going to cut it down to stop the covenant that I had made with the nations of the world. I'll tell them, if it's good in your eyes, nations of the world, give me my fee, give me my reward, meaning give me back the righteous that you had received reward because of them up until now. But if not, then stop. And vayishkalu eschari shloshim kesef, and I took my pay, the 30 silver, meaning that was taken away from the right, from the nations of the world, and it was established that there should be the righteous for the generations amongst the Jewish people. Which, again, that's the same idea that Rabbi Huda Omer, Eilu shloshim tzadiki umas ha'olam, these are the 30 righteous amongst the nations of the world, she'umas ha'olam eskayim aleihem, that the nations of the world stand on, which that's the idea that was taken away from the nations of the world, and then that was substituted with the righteous Jews of every single generation, which we said there's 30 in Eretz Yisrael and 15 in Bavel. Ulam, he gives a different interpretation of this pasuk. He says, "Elu shleishim mitzvahs shekibul lim b'nei noach." This actually refers to the 30 commandments which the non-Jews had taken upon themselves, which Rashi says are not explained over here, although that the Hagoyes Marav Ransberg brings down elsewhere that they delineate what these 30 mitzvahs are. However, from here it's learnt out. But ve'emakayim and elishleisha, but says Ula, but they only fulfill 3 of the 30 that they took upon themselves. What are these 3? Achas, one of them is, as we continue to mitbeis, she'en kaisvin ksuba lezacharim, that they don't write a ksuba, a dowry, for males. Meaning, even though they're suspect regarding homosexuality, mishkav zachar, and they actually even designate males for relations, but they're not so degraded in this mitzvah that they'll go ahead and write a ksuba. So that's something that they fulfill. And another one is that they don't weigh the flesh of a dead person b'makoylin out there in the marketplace, because they don't eat it so out in public. Or another interpretation is referring to the meat of an animal that just died by itself, that wasn't slaughtered. And one of them is that they honor the Torah. So those are the 3 out of the 30 that they actually do fulfill. The Gemara continues with the halacha of our Mishnah regarding Gid Anasha. So he said it applies to Behema and Chaya, but says the Mishnah, Me'ein Enayg Ba'ifa, does not pertain to a fowl, to a bird. Now, the Mishnah said the reason is because they don't have a calf. Ask the Gemara, which that's the spoon, that's the part of the hip that sticks out. Ask the Gemara, but we see that actually that birds do have this calf basa, the spoon part of the flesh around the upper part of the thigh. So why is there no isr gid anasha over there? Says the Gemara, islay v'lo ogel. Yeah, birds do have it, but it's not rounded. The meat around that bone is not similar to the outer part of a spoon that pops out. Where old flesh that's high up and round, that's what we call the spoon. As the Gemara says in Nida, the Mem Zayin Min Alef, regarding the maturity of a girl, that until the area by the genital area rounds out like a spoon, that's a sign of bagras. That's the idea they're talking about over here. Although that, yes, they do have, but they have this part that sticks out, but it's not rounded out, and therefore that will not qualify for the kaf to be issu the gedanusha by the eif. Now, Bayer Birmi asked a question. He says, Islay la eif v'agel. What happens if it happens to be like that? That a bird is born that it has the spoon part and it's rounded, or actually islay la behemah v'lo eagel. What would happen if, let's say, an animal has that spoon part but it's not rounded? My, what would the halacha be? As the Gemara explains, the question is basa d'dazlin. Do we go after each one specifically, and therefore, if this one has, then it will be get a nashon. If it doesn't, it won't. Or basa min d'dazlin. Do we go after the species? And we said animal species have rounded, and therefore has get a nashon, even though this specific one doesn't. And versus birds, or do you go after each one individually? Says the Gemara, take or let it stand. It's not clear what the halacha would be. Now the Mishnah continued and said that v'noig b'shlil. This is a get a nashon applies even to the fetus. That's inside the womb, that fetus, its gid hanasha will also be forbidden. Whereas Rabbi Huda, as the Mishnah quoted, he disagrees. He says there's no isser gid hanasha in the shlil. And then moreover, not only does he say that by shlil it's mutter, the Mishnah continues and says that chel by mutter, that its fat of the fetus, as although it would seem, is also permitted. Now, Amar Shmuel, but Shmuel says, v'chel by mutter, this that the Mishnah said that its fat is permitted, that Allah is going according to everyone. So the Gemara wonders. So when it says its fat, which fat are we talking about that Shmuel is saying everyone agrees it's going to be permitted? If, as the simple reading of the Mishnah seems to indicate, that's going back on what the previous Allah was talking about, that it's talking about the fat of the fetus, which generally chel of certain parts of fats of animals, as like on the flanks and on the kidneys, certain fats are forbidden. So on that, it's saying that, but the fats of the fetus, even those areas of fats, are permitted, and Shmuel is saying everyone agrees to that, but says the Gemara of Miflik Pligibe, but we find that they actually disagree and dispute this halacha. The Tanakam of a Mishnah and Rabbi Huda. Tanak learned the Braisa. The Braisa says, Noig Bishlil, this is like the Tanakam of a Mishnah, that the Issur Gid Anasha applies to the fetus, and Vechelboy, and the fats, those certain fats of the fetus, are also Asur, are forbidden. That's the Bri Meir, who's like the Tanakam of a Mishnah. As he says in the Mishnah, no, in a noig b'shlil, there's no issur gid hanasha by the fetus, and moreover, v'chel b'mutter, the fats of the fetus are permitted. Now, v'amar b'lazam m'beisha, he says, in qualified this machlekes, he says, machlekes b'ben tisha chai. Machlekes is when they slaughter and they tear open the mother, and in the womb they find a fully developed 9-month-old animal that's alive and standing there in front of us. And their machlekes is l'shitasim, according to their reasoning elsewhere, because v'halacher meir l'shitasim, meir goes according to his reasoning, as we brought in the previous parak, tafayadalam and alf, that he says such an animal is found complete, it's not qualified anymore as a shlil, it needs its own shchita. So since it's not permitted with the slaughtering of the mother was slaughtered, and they tear open the stomach, they find that creature, it's not considered as a shlil, as a fetus, to be considered what's called kol bebehema techelu, which in the previous daf we had expounded, whatever's inside is also permitted with the slaughtering of the mother. So therefore, not only does it need its own slaughtering, it's like its own animal, and therefore its fats and its gid hanasha are going to be forbidden. So therefore, Rebbe Meir says that it's forbidden. Rebbe Yehuda Lishitas, Rebbe Yehuda goes according to his reasoning that he says, no, even the fully developed fetus that's found there is going to be permitted because we consider it as like part of the mother and permitted with its slaughtering, and therefore it's like just another limb, and therefore its gid and its chalib is not considered its own iser. It's like another limb, which is not the chalib and the gid of the animal, and therefore it's permitted. So you see that it is a machlekes regarding the fats of the fetus. So how can you say it's according to everyone? So Ve'el rather says the Gemara, no, chalbi the gid. What the Mishnah was saying when it said v'chel by mutter, it wasn't referring to right back what it said regarding the fetus. It's going back in the halacha of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about the prohibition of the gid hanasha. And that the Mishnah is saying that the chel of the fats of every animal's gid hanasha Shmuel saying that's going according to everyone, that those fats of the Gera Nasha is permitted. Now, says the Gemara, but how can you say that too? Hamiflik pliyigibab, we find that they do dispute this halacha. The time, like learn the Braisa. Kid Hanasha, regarding the sciatic nerve, mechatit acher b'chal makom shehu. The first opinion says, you have to dig it out from wherever it goes, where it spreads throughout the leg of the animal. Moreover, v'chaytich sham n'mikar, you have to also rip out the fats of the kid Hanasha from its roots, wherever it goes, gets absorbed and rooted into the flesh, you have to rip it out. That's the Rebbe Meir. So we see he holds that the fats of the Gera Nasha are also forbidden as the Gera Nasha. Rabbi Huda, he disagrees. He says, no, goyimim ma'im ha shayfi. What you could do is you could just even it out, the spoon part of the animal, and you could just cut it off, even it out, which is meaning that the upper fats, which are visible on the spoon part of the Gid Hanasha, so that you have to cut off, lop off, and throw that away. Now, the reason why, even though you're leaving a lot of the fats beneath the surface, is just because of Maris Ha'ayin. And it shouldn't look like you're eating the Gid Hanasha. But the roots of it, of the fats, and even of the Gid Hanasha, says Rabbi Huda, that's permitted. That's not going to be forbidden. So one thing you see, at least, is that regarding the fats of the Gid Hanasha, that is a machlekes. Rabbi Meir says that that's forbidden, and Rabbi Huda says permitted. So what exactly is Shmuel saying in the Halacha of a Mishnah that Chel B'Mut is according to everyone? Says the Gemara, La'olam Chel B'Digid. No, truthfully, Shmuel, when he was saying that this Halacha of a Mishnah is according to everyone that's going to be permitted, is talking about the fats of the Gid Hanasha. But Amayda Shmuel agrees that even though biblically, as he's saying in our Mishnah, that he's saying according to everyone, that those fats are permitted, but the Rav Meir and the Rabbana Asr. This that Rav Meir says it's Asr and you have to go ahead and dig it out, that's only rabbinically. The time, like, learn the Braisa. Because the Braisa says, B'shamnimut, it says that the fats of the Gid Hanasha are permitted, but V'Yisrael Kadoshim Nagu B'Yisr, but the holy Jewish people, they treat it as forbidden. Says the Gemara, my love Rav Meir, isn't it obviously talking about Rav Meir? From the fact that it says that they treat it as forbidden, now we know that according to Rabbi Yehuda is permitted. So who is it that treats it as forbidden? Must be Rav Meir. And still it says in the Braisa, the Amma Mutim in that Torah, that biblically it's permitted, but only V'asam Drabana, only rabbinically forbidden, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's not even a custom to treat it as forbidden. And still we see that Rav Meir says biblically it's permitted, which is like Shmuel, that everyone holds biblically it's permitted. Which the Gemara says, Mimai, what's derived from that Braisa? Dim Rabbi Yehuda. No, to the contrary. Maybe it's actually talking about Rabbi Yehuda. And although he says that biblically it's permitted, he says rabbinically it is forbidden and that there is such a minhag. Maybe according to a mayor, it's even biblically prohibited. So how do you see this context of Shmuel that everyone agrees biblically is permitted? No, you cannot entertain to say the way you're asking. Why? Because the time you learn the Braisa, Gid Hanasha, the sciatic nerve, mechatet acharev b'chol makom shehu, you have to dig it out from whatever goes through the flesh of the animal. However, v'sham nimotu, its fat is permitted. Now, man shamat le'disli chatita, who of the two tanom that we quoted holds that you have to dig out the Gid Hanasha from wherever it goes? It's Rav Meir. As we just quoted before, it was him that said that, because Rabbi says, no, you could just cut off even from the Gid Hanasha, you don't have to go and dig it out wherever it goes into. And v'kamer, what does he say? Sham nimotu. And this Bryce, who is obviously Rav Meir, says that the fats are permitted. Obviously, it's like Shmuel, that everyone holds biblically it's permitted, and therefore the halacha of our Mishnah of Chelba is going to Chelba the Gid, and that everyone holds biblically it's permitted, such that Meir holds that rabbinically it's prohibited. Now, continuing on this halacha of our Mishnah regarding qualifying the Isra of the Gid Hanasha, what exactly is prohibited? So, Amar Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marto Amar Rab, it says, Le'asra Torah, the Torah only made forbidden regarding the Gid Hanasha, Ela Kanei Kanei Shabai. Only like the terminology we had before regarding the grapes, like those tendrils, those small, little, thin tendons that they go at the edge of the length of the thigh, which go beneath the flesh, which goes from the outer gid to the inner sinew. And those are the ones that are prohibited because they're very soft and they give taste. But the Gid Hanasha itself, the primary sciatic nerve, which is at the top of the thigh, that's hard. That's like a piece of wood. That was never prohibited from the Torah. Now, Ulamer, he actually disagrees and he says the opposite. He says, no, even though Eitzu, even though it's wood, v'hatarah chayav alav, but that's what the Torah is making the liability for. It's actually that which is the Isser. Now, Amar Abaye says it's actually more logical like Ula. Why? Because Amar Avsheshes, Amar Avasi says the following halacha. It says, chutin shebechelev, which literally means to say the threads in the fats, which refers to the nerves which go throughout the body, and so too in the fats, for example, the forbidden fats that are like these threads, these nerves that go through the flanks and also the fats that are on the intestines. So there's like these thin threads of nerve endings. Asurin, they're rabbinically prohibited to consume, but v'ein chayav nalehem, but one would not be liable karas on them. Now, what you see from that halacha, says Abaya, Alma, you see, because chaylev amrachmon, what does the term make forbidden that are on the flanks, which are the sides of the animals around its abdomen, and regarding those fats that are on the intestines? It's the chaylev amrachmon, the Torah only says the fats, v'loi chud, not the threads that go through the fats. So achanami, therefore here also, gid amrachmon, the Torah says, what's prohibited? It's the tendon, it's the sinew, v'loi kenekedis, not the tendrils that come out. And therefore, no, to the contrary, although it's like a piece of wood, but that's what the Torah said, is forbidden. Now, once we introduce this teaching of Rav Sheshes, in the name of Rav Asi, so now the Gemara now clarifies that halacha. Guf, we learned, Am Rav Sheshes, Am Rav Asi, says, Chutin Shebechelim, these threads, these nerves that go through the fats, Asurin, Vein Chayav Nalein, they're prohibited, but there's no liability because it's not the primary, it's only the chelim, not the nerves that actually go through them, but rabbinically they're forbidden. So too, Shebekulya, those that are in the kidneys, Asurin, Vein Chayav Nalein, they're not the primary thing that's prohibited, but rabbinically they're prohibited, but just not, one's not liable. Now, related to the kidneys, loiven kulya, the white of the kidneys, which are the fats that are inside the groove, which spreads and goes into the kidneys itself, what's the halacha with those fats themselves? Meaning, the fats that are on the kidneys we spoke about, that's biblically prohibited. But we said the threads that go through them are only rabbinically prohibited. What's with the white that's inside the kidney itself? So if machlik is Rebbe Reb Chia, chad aser, v'chad shari, one says it's prohibited, one says permitted. Rabba would dig out wherever he would go to take it out, because he obviously held that it's forbidden. Rabbi Yechon Memartitle, he would also dig it out from wherever it would go into the kidney. But Rabasi Goyimle, he would just lop off the top part, but that which is in the kidney, he would actually eat, because he held that it's permitted. Now, Amabai says, Kavaseid Rabasi Mistaba. He says it's logical like Rabasi. Why? Damer Baba Amr Behuda Mashmul, as you continue to talk about Tzadi Gimlam and Olive, Chaylev, the fats that are on the Ksalim, the flanks, which are the sides of the animal, which are in the upper part of the animal, beneath the area of the kidneys. Now, those fats are visible on the top of the flanks. Then, later on, as they go through the body, they get absorbed beneath the flesh. So those fats, shahabasr, that the flesh, which is thin and red, then it spreads beneath the flesh by throughout the all the flanks of the animal. Now, from the fact that the flesh is chayfa, he says, covering it, so mutter. So that is actually going to be permitted, as we're going to shortly explain why that is. Now, however, Rashi points out that, however, when these fats go lower down in the animal, in the lower region of the animal, so that flesh comes out and there's a thick white membrane, besides the thin membrane that's thin and spreads throughout all the flanks, but here on the bottom, there is this thick membrane, which there's generally we say regarding the Issa Chaylev, it's what's revealed. Now, but beneath that thick membrane, there's fats. So Rashi says some want to treat that as forbidden as Chaylev, because that membrane that's on the bottom, they don't consider that as flesh, to be covered by flesh. Because as we're going to shortly explain, it's only the fats that are on top, that are not concealed beneath the flesh, that's Isser of the Chaylev that's on the Ksalim on the flanks. But if it's beneath flesh, then it's actually permitted. But some want to say that since it's very thin, that's not considered as flesh, and therefore it's actually still considered the revealed chaylev to be forbidden. But Rashi says that in the lands of Germany, they actually treat it as permitted, and Rashi seems that should be the correct thing, because it is considered covered beneath flesh, and that it is considered like flesh. But one thing says the Gemara, one thing that we see is Sha'alak Salam Amrachmanik. What does the Torah say? What fats are forbidden? That which is on the flanks, meaning on the flesh, but not what's inside the flanks, not covered by the flesh. So Achanam here also to prove to Ravasi's halacha, Sha'alak Klois Amrachmanik. What are the fats that are forbidden by the kidneys, that are on the kidneys, but not which is in the kidneys? And therefore, although we said Shabakulya, the kidneys themselves are biblically prohibited. The nerves that go through them are not really the kidneys themselves, but rabbinically they're prohibited. Regarding the loiven kulya, he says, that goes inside the kidneys, that's not on the kidneys, those fats are in the kidneys, and therefore they should be permitted. However, Rashi does say that, but regarding this loiven kulya that we're talking about, we should go stringent to rip it all out from the kidneys, because since the halacha wasn't gepaskin, it wasn't ruled, although Abaye was bringing a proof, but it wasn't ruled like Ravasi, therefore one should be stringent, but if one isn't, he hasn't lost out, but one should be stringent with this halacha.